The Lord would no more put sickness on you than He would lead you to sin. God doesn't want you to be sick any more than He wants you to be lost. It is God's will for you to be well. Stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about God wants you well. It is God's will for you to be well. God gets no pleasure or glory out of you being sick. God did not make you sick. God wants you well because He loves you, because He wants to use it as a testimony to you and to others. God wants you well. I believe that with all of my heart. And this week, I've shown 3 days' worth of interviews with Nikki Oshinsky about her miraculous healing that occurred in 2000. And today, I just want to start getting in to some of the nuts and the bolts about how do you believe and how do you receive your healing from God. You know, this really isn't complicated, but it is going to be very, very different to what most of you have heard. I do not believe that we're hearing the truth about this. God's Word isn't being taught very well on this subject, and that's the reason that people don't have faith for healing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." People have not been preaching the truth on healing. And you know, later in this series, I'm going to get into some things about why I believe that is, but in a nutshell, I believe that there's 2 dominant reasons that people haven't preached the subject of healing. Number one, they haven't known that it's for us. I know that I grew up and I was born again when I was 8 years old, and I didn't understand about healing. It wasn't preached against in particular. It just wasn't preached. The truth of it wasn't preached, and faith comes by hearing, and so I didn't have faith for it. So there was a large period of time that I was ignorant of it. There's other people that have seen healing. They know that it exists, and they may even acknowledge that it can happen, but yet they don't preach on it as such because, and this is my own opinion, some of you will disagree with this, but I believe it to be true, that it's a cop-out. Because you know what? If you start preaching that it is God's will to heal, then you're going to have to put up or shut up. You're going to have to start praying for people. You're going to have to start seeing healings manifest. And I tell you, when you start praying and ministering on the subject of healing, you will see healings come to pass, but at the same time, you'll see some people who from the external, you know, it looks like they're believing and doing all of these things, and yet they don't receive their healing, and most people just can't cope with that. And rather than sit there and say that they're missing it, that maybe the person they're praying for is missing it or whatever, it's just easier to say, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, it's God's will, and just dodge a bullet and dodge responsibility and not deal with it. Some of you may think that's being harsh, but I believe that that's true. There's a lot of people that know that God wants to heal, and they just don't major on it because it would put them in a position where they would have to believe God and trust God and seek God much more than they do. And it would interfere with their recreation and with their television viewing, and they'd have to be spiritual instead of carnal, and they don't want to do that. I know some of you don't like that, but I believe it's true. And let me just say this, that I'm sharing with you what God has revealed to me about the subject of healing. I don't claim to understand it all, but I am seeing miraculous results. Not as well as I want to. I am still growing in this area. I don't claim that I have it all figured out, but I have seen the blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the dead raised, multiple people raised from the dead. And so until you start getting better results than I'm getting, you ought to at least consider the things that I'm sharing with you. And so in my own experience, one of the major keys, one of the things that started me down this journey towards healing and seeing these things is the absolute, unqualified belief that God always wants to heal people. It is always God's will for people to be healed. Now, I can just hear television sets all around the world clicking off. I can hear people groaning as they complain and say, how dare you believe that? Because again, I believe it's a defense mechanism. I really do. Rather than us say that you mean we're missing God's best, that we could receive greater miracles and healings than what we're experiencing today, and it's because we aren't believing God in this area, rather than us accept any responsibility, it is a convenient doctrine to just pass it all off on the Lord and say, well, God, if He wants to heal a person, they'll be healed, and if He doesn't, they won't. And it's convenient. And there's a lot of people that are going to be very, very upset at me for saying that it is God's will to heal. But you know what? I believe that God's Word ought to control our theology. I don't believe that we ought to decide what we want to believe, what is convenient, what, you know, we think that this would be nice if this is the way it is. And so we just go to the Word and pick and choose the parts that we want to support what we already believe. That's not a good way to interpret Scripture. We ought to go to the Word and let the Word speak. And what does the Word say about this? Let me just share a few verses with you here. This is about faith and about receiving from God. 1 John says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. These verses make your receiving conditional upon you knowing that God hears you and that you have asked according to His will. And again, there's many people that would say, but it's not God's will to heal every time. You can't find that in Scripture. I'm going to go through this. I haven't got time. I just want to stick on this point right now, but I will be showing you a lot of other Scriptures showing you that according to the Word of God, it is God's will for you to be well. And if you ever doubt that, if you waver in this, if you just approach it that, well, I believe God can heal, and so you pray, and if it's His will, it'll come to pass, you'll die with that attitude. Let me make some comparisons here. What would happen if a person that was coming for salvation, the forgiveness of their sins, says, I know that God can forgive, and He can save a person, but I don't know that it is God's will to save every person. And so you just pray and ask and say, God, if it's Your will, if I'm one of those that You died for, would You save me? And then you just leave it up to that person to decide whether or not they believe, you know, that God saved them. I guarantee you, if you approach salvation that way and they said, God, I know You can, would You? And you just wait to feel saved, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people that would not believe for their healing. But see, when we present salvation, we say that no, whosoever will. This is for everyone, that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. And we present forgiveness of sins as something that is across the board. It applies to every single person. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we tell people that it's God's will for every person to be saved. And all you have to do is believe and receive. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So see, we present the initial born-again experience as something that's available to everyone. It is God's will for everyone to receive. All you got to do is believe and receive. And that's the reason that people get saved so easily, is because they don't doubt that it's God's will. But if we were to interject doubt into that and say, well, God doesn't will to save everyone. Some people, He just wants you to die and go to hell. And you aren't sure if God really, if you're one of the chosen ones or not. If you were to present it that way, I guarantee you vast numbers of people would be talked out of their salvation because they prayed and they didn't have a lightning bolt or a goosebump run up and down their spine. Many people would just think, well, you know, it must not be God's will to save me. And the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That means the same way that you receive salvation is the same way you receive healing. It's the same way you receive everything. If we would present healing as it is God's will to heal everyone, it is across the board. There is never a time that God wants you to be sick. God would no more. Boy, here's a radical statement that'll rock some of you, but some of you need to be rocked. But God would no more put sickness on you than He would put sin on you. In the same way that He has forgiven your sin, He has also healed your diseases. It is God's will for you to be well just as much as it is God's will for you to be saved. Amen. Boy, those are powerful statements. And there's people, I'm sure, all around the world rejoicing right now. And then there's other religious people getting mad right now, because you know what this does? This, all of a sudden, we know it's unacceptable for us to live in sin. Most of you watching this program have embraced that. You may still be doing it, but at least you know it's unacceptable and you're resisting it and fighting against it. But healing has been something that a vast number of people in the body of Christ, they reject healing and they embrace sickness as being, well, God doesn't care. God doesn't move in these areas. There's others who believe God can heal, but that He just chooses to heal some and not to heal others. And so I would say that the vast majority of people in the body of Christ do not look at healing the same as they look at forgiveness of sins. But if you were to take the very Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, that was translated save, salvation, and it was over 300 and something times in the New Testament, that word was used to describe the forgiveness of our sins. Excuse me. If you were to look at that word and study it, did you know that that same Greek word not only applies to the forgiveness of our sins, but it applies to the healing of your body and to the deliverance from the emotional demonic influence that comes against us? That word isn't limited to just forgiveness of sins. The word that is used all throughout the Bible for salvation is talking about not only the forgiveness of sins, but the healing of your body and your deliverance from the oppression of the devil. Now, if you don't believe that, well, then you don't believe what the Bible is saying about salvation. Let me just take one example right here from the book of James. It's James chapter 5, and in verse 13 it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." You know, before I get to this 15th verse, let me just interject this. There is a large amount of Christianity today. This program is being seen all around the world, every place in the world. And there are many of you that if you were to take this verse in the Bible and go to your church and say, "Here's what the Word says. I am sick, and it says, if I am sick, I am to come to you, and you are to anoint me with oil and pray for me, and a prayer of faith will save the sick." If you were to take this passage of Scripture and go to the elders of your church, there are many of you, probably 50% or more, that they would tell you that this isn't for us today. They would get mad at you. They would criticize you for doing exactly what the Word says. Let me say this just as politely as I possibly can. You shouldn't let the door hit you as you exit that church. You ought to flee there so fast that the door never touches you. Man, you ought to be out of there. You ought to be going to some place that is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, in some place that believes the Word of God. This is what the Scripture says. This is a command. This is a command just like don't commit adultery. This is a command, just like love your wife, love your husband. This is a part of the Word, just like anything else. And it says, if you're sick, go to the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And in verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That word for save right there is the Greek word sozo. This is the word that is used for save, talking about the forgiveness of your sins. And it's saying that in the same way that Jesus died to forgive your sins, He also died to save your body. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, talking about healing the sick. It's a part of our atonement. If you turn over to Psalms 103, let me get over there and read this passage to you. And again, I'm taking only a few passages. There's many, many passages. You know, I encourage you to get these teaching tapes that we're offering because they will go into more detail than what I have time to do here on our program. But in Psalms 103 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. In verse 2, it says, don't forget His benefits. And then in verse 3, it lists the benefit of having your sins forgiven, your iniquities forgiven, and your being healed of all of the diseases is listed in the exact same passage of Scripture. You know, I don't know how in the world the body of Christ ever got to the place to where they divided what Jesus came to do into segments and said, forgiveness of sins over here, this is non-negotiable, this is essential, this is what we believe salvation is all about. And then God can heal, but it's all optional, and it depends on what mood He's in, and it depends on whether you've been living holy, and maybe God is wanting to teach you something, maybe God is punishing you. And they separate salvation, that the very Greek word sozo means salvation, forgiveness of sins, healing of your body, and deliverance. And yet they have just chosen to ignore deliverance from demonic things, healing of your physical body, and they just focus on the forgiveness of your sins. You know, I'm not angry at individuals about this. It's not something that I'm bitter about, but I am passionate that this is wrong. My dad was a godly man. You know, the man who was our pastor when I was a young boy, and when I was 8 years old, Fred Harris, he watches this program every day. Brother Fred, I know you're watching in Tyler, Texas. And I tell you, it's been wonderful to reconnect with him. But my dad was a godly man, and I've had Brother Fred Harris, the guy who was the pastor, who I got born again listening to his message, and I went home and asked my dad, and my dad led me to the Lord, and Fred Harris baptized me in a Baptist church in Arlington, Texas. And Fred Harris has told me that my dad was one of the most godly Christians he had ever met. Now, my dad died when I was only 12 years old, and I honestly didn't know him in that way. And I don't remember all that well, but based on the pastor's own admission, my dad was a godly man. And I remember that he did a lot of things for people. I remember he gave gifts to people. He was always helping people out. And my dad was a godly man. He was the chairman of the deacons of that Baptist church. But for whatever reason, the Baptists just chose to preach the forgiveness of sins. They didn't preach that healing of your physical body was a part of our salvation, that deliverance from demonic things was a part of our salvation. I mean, the Baptists didn't even believe that there were any demons in the United States. They believed they were all in some third world country. And so anyway, they just reduced salvation down to the forgiveness of sins. And again, I go back to that verse in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you aren't taught the Word of God, if people don't take scriptures like this and say that God forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. If those scriptures aren't preached, people aren't going to have faith for it. And so here's my dad, who was a godly man. And yet he had at the time what they called hardening of the arteries. I assume that's what we would today referred to as cholesterol and things like this. And he actually had a human artery transplant from his heart to his knee. He was the 50th person operated on in Houston, Texas, and the first one to live through it. But he was invalid and he had problems, and because he didn't understand the scriptures, again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. My dad died when he was 54, when I was only 12 years old. And it wasn't because he was an ungodly man. It wasn't God's judgment on him. It wasn't punishment. He just didn't know the truth concerning healing. And I've often talked to my mother about this. My mother just turned 95. And my mother has told me that she believed that my dad would have been a fanatical Christian if he would have heard these truths about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and stuff, that that's the kind of person that he was, and he just didn't know this. And so because people chose to preach just a small segment of what salvation was. And again, praise God for that. I got born again under that. I am not bitter and I'm not complaining, but I'm saying that there is more than that. The Lord didn't only die for the forgiveness of your sins, but the Lord wants you well as much as He wants you to be saved, as much as He wants you to be set free from sin and all of the damaging effects of sin. He wants you to be set free from sickness and all of the hardships and the hurts and the pains that come with it. Man, that's true. And my dad died as a result of people just choosing, whether it was through ignorance or whether it was deliberate. You know, it's not my place. I don't know. But they didn't preach the Word of God. My dad died because of a lack of knowledge in that area. There are many of you today who are good people and who you love God and you serve God and you've trusted Him and you believe that you're forgiven of your sins. But you don't believe that the Scripture promises you healing of your body. I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for the healing of your body just as much as He died for the forgiveness of your sins. And somebody says, so do you believe that you have to walk in healing and things like that or you aren't saved? No, I don't believe that you have to believe in healing. You can still go to heaven and not believe in heaven, healing, and you can get there quicker. Amen. Because you certainly aren't going to live a long life if you don't believe in the supernatural healing power of God. No, you can go to heaven without being well. So in that sense, I'll admit that having the sins forgiven is the more important of the two. But Jesus also died for the healings of your body. And for you to just sit there and say, well, Lord, I'll just take this, but I'll reject this other part of what Jesus came to do. And you think that that's humble or that somehow or another that's pleasing to God? It's not. That would be like if I could somehow or another sacrifice my son to forgive your sins and to heal your body and to grant you deliverance. And if you just came and said, well, I really appreciate what you've done, but you know what? I'm only going to take 1/3 of what your sacrifice of your son produced because I don't want to impose on you. Do you think that'd be pleasing to me? Man, to go to that kind of an expense to sacrifice your son and then have people not take advantage of what he produced, that's not honoring the Lord. You know, I'm not saying these things to scold you, but I am trying to break through this religious bondage that for whatever reason has said healing is not a part of our atonement. And I want you to know that Jesus died for the healing of your body just like He died for the forgiveness of your sins. And it is not honoring the Lord. God loves you if you aren't healed. If you don't believe in healing, it's not going to change God's love towards you. But I tell you, I believe that it does grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, the Scripture says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit to see people suffering when the atonement has been made. The price has been paid. And people just aren't receiving it because they don't know what's theirs. Next week, I'm going to continue this and I'm going to be talking about healing is in Christ's atonement. So I encourage you to listen in on Monday and listen as our announcer gives you some information.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The first teaching in this series is available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TI1, titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to please get these products that we're offering, because I believe that this is going to make a huge difference. I guarantee you, you could be well and see other people get well if you just receive this revelation. We have a teaching on this in CD form, cassette form. We also have it in DVD as recorded here on television. And that would be a tremendous resource. We also have this Healing Journeys. Please listen as our announcer gives you this information.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
¿Sabía usted que ahora puede conseguir las enseñanzas de Andrew en español? Varios de los libros más populares de Andrew ya han sido traducidos. Usted puede obtenerlos poniéndose en contacto con nosotros. Visite nuestro sitio de internet.
Be sure to tune in for more Gospel Truth on Monday.
He was like a brand new boy. Seen him for the first time since he was 3 months old, with a clear face, a clear complexion. The spots on his skin, they were disappearing. And we were just like, we have a new kid. It was amazing. And he was happy.
Now, when she woke up, the first thing we said to her when she woke up was, Jesus has healed you. And she, as soon as she heard that, she smiled. She said, I want to eat.
And I'm like, yeah, now you can eat. I said to her, so what do you want to eat? She goes, I want some lunch. I want to go to McDonald's.
And I said, what do you mean she's healed? She's healed, she's healed. And we were just jumping for joy.
She took one hand on the covers and threw it back. She took her other arm and went straight across Andrew's chest, and at the same time kicked with her feet to get those covers off.
And those little legs came swinging off of that pallet, and they hit the floor.
February 1st, 2002, she comes to me, Mama, I've had a little prayer. I said, yeah, it's usually a little one. What is it? She said, I don't need these puffers anymore. I said, fine, you're done. And that was him. We threw him out. She's been drug-free, symptom-free since.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.